You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
This morning, Lyric spoke with Dr. Sarah Cowie, a senior lecturer in psychology at the University of Auckland, about how our community's expectations can impact others' actions. They also speak about what makes people defy social protocols during the pandemic and whether or not punishment is actually useful. Here is Lyric speaking to Dr. Sarah Cowie.
What does behavioural psychology tell us about how pressure from our communities and authorities influences an individual's behaviour?
So we know from behavioural psychology that our behaviour is heavily influenced by the consequences that are likely to follow it. And a lot of that comes from our experience with those sorts of consequences. So it is the case that instructions and rules that are put down by authority, making things mandatory, definitely has an influence on our behaviour and increases compliance. But a lot of that comes from the social impacts of that policy. So it's very difficult to enforce any sort of policy in the sense that it's hard to be there when, for example, somebody's meant to be washing their hands every time, and it's expensive as well. So often the consequences for our behaviour of following some sort of mandatory rule are not necessarily immediately apparent. But when our community is doing that as well, the people around us, we see people doing it, there are much more easily perceivable immediate consequences for doing the same sorts of things. So having pressure from the community in the sense that everybody is doing whatever is necessary and people expect you to do it as well is a very effective way of getting us to do what we need to do.
In terms of our pandemic response, we have this trust model in our country where our Prime Minister has created this idea of this team of 5 million, and we all work together, we all have this expectation to keep each other safe. So what makes people stray away from this?
So I guess one of the main factors for us straying away from being part of that community of 5 million would be more immediate pressures. So if there is a conflict between your own goals and the goals of that wider team of 5 million, then your own goals are potentially going to be a little bit more important, have a little bit more of an impact on your behaviour. And where you're seeing negative impacts of your behaviour of you know, staying home, not going into work under level 3, things like that, then that potentially might sway you towards doing things that are not necessarily in line with what the team of 5 million needs you to do. The other thing is that, of course, we don't see the impact of COVID quite as much as people overseas who haven't been lucky enough to have a team of 5 million that has buckled down and got the virus under control. So to us, the immediate impact of our actions of being part of that team of 5 million are probably a lot less apparent.
So how does impact from our community influence change with individuals who are operating in tighter family units that have separate expectations?
So where there's a difference in what your tighter family unit or your immediate community expects from you and what is expected in the wider community, there's going to be some conflict there, and chances are that we are much more likely to do what is needed by our immediate family, by our very close community, than we are to do what the more distant, wider community needs us to do, because the benefits of doing what our immediate community needs us to do are very clear. There's social approval when you do what other people around you are doing, and that's really, really important. We're driven by a need, if you like, to belong. So it's very important for us to do what those around us are doing and what people around us expect us to do. So we place heavy importance, I guess, on the expectations of those around us. And that has, when there are differences in the goals and the expectations of those close to us and the wider community, that's also likely to create a bit of a perceived divide and, again, make you more likely to do what your community and your close group of friends and family needs than to do what the government is asking you to do.
There's been calls for community members who narc, for want of a better word, on people that they know aren't adhering to these social distancing and isolating guidelines. Are we more likely to see people becoming more secretive to hide their habit as a result of this?
Certainly, from the research, we know that when you arrange some sort of potential negative consequence for behaviour, that doesn't necessarily lead to us not doing the behaviour. What it does lead to is people doing things that avoid getting caught. So if you think about things, any sort of situation where there's a potential for somebody to call you out on something, knock you up, for you to get in trouble, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to actually stop doing what it is that's going to get you in trouble. It's the way to avoid that potential punishment is simply not to get caught. And if you're doing these things because there's some benefit in them for you, and these are things like engaging with your friends, going to work, going out in your community, these are things that definitely have an immediate benefit to us, it's much more likely that we'll just do something that means that we don't get caught rather than necessarily stopping the behaviour. So having that sort of community pressure of somebody narking you up isn't on its own going to stop people from doing things that aren't helpful.
For the online backlash towards these new cases for breaking lockdown rules, and with the National Party proposing bringing in punishments, will this kind of finger pointing end up doing more harm than good?
Certainly, when our behaviour is motivated by avoiding bad things happening to us, that doesn't make us feel particularly good about doing those things that we need to do to avoid those bad consequences. Whereas, as a general rule, we feel much happier when we're doing things for some sort of benefit. And what we've, on the whole, what's been happening in New Zealand up until now is that people have been doing things to contribute to that team of 5 million, to be part of a cause and to be doing something really positive for the people around them. When you shift to compelling people to do things to avoid something bad happening, you change the mood, you're likely to make people not feel very good about it. The other thing is that arranging potential punishment for actions that we don't want to happen doesn't necessarily mean that people won't do those things. If you think about your safe driving behavior, for example, so the way that one of the ways that we try to control for that is by issuing speeding tickets and punishment for going over the speed limit. Just because there is the possibility of getting a speeding ticket doesn't mean that we never ever speed. And in fact, possibly it seems like people will speed when they think they won't get caught. So having some sort of potential punishment on its own is not a good way of motivating people to do things.
So really what could be more effective is bringing in positive rewards for people who are following rules, giving them positive affirmations perhaps.
Yes, absolutely. And so anything that shifts the focus onto what needs to be done and what can be done to produce benefit. And also, I think finding goals that are shared, no matter what your feelings are about the potential threat level of COVID-19. So those shared goals might be things like, if I wash my hands, wear my mask, check in, then I'm ensuring that my kids can keep going to school because there's not likely to be a lockdown, or I'm doing my bit to make sure that my church group can meet up on a Sunday, things like that. So placing the focus on how your actions benefit others and benefit yourself, rather than putting the focus on not doing things because if you do them, there'll be bad consequences, is definitely likely to make people feel better, to make people more likely to buy in and do those things. And it's also worth pointing out that when you place the focus on potential punishment that has the potential of just creating inaction as well. Whereas when you're placing a focus on reward, that's prompting us to actually do things and make us active, and it's much more likely to occasion an effective change in behaviour.
That was Lyric speaking to Dr. Sarah Cowie, a senior lecturer in psychology at the University of Auckland, talking about how the community's expectations can impact the actions of others during the pandemic.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.